This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and certainly for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of William Federer, who puts out certainly the American Minute. William's a prolific writer. He's written a number of books. We carry a number of his books, America's God and Country, his book on George Washington Carver and on the St. Nicholas and on St. Patrick, and we carry a number of his books, certainly What Every American Should Know About the Koran, all important books that will help you better to understand the world we live in, and certainly William Federer is a very articulate gentleman. He's fairly young, probably a good deal younger than I am, but totally dedicated to this battle, to try to educate the American people about what's going on, with the hope, of course, that we're going to be able to actually one day restore the freedom that we had. I'm not sure that we're going to be able to, whatever the situation is. Why, of course, the America that is going to arise when this current crisis is over is not going to be the America we knew before. Well, basically, we're trying to get hold of William Federer. We don't seem to be able to. So if you're out in the listening audience and you'd like to give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you're one of those people who wanted to call during the last hour and didn't have a chance to get in, give us a call now. We'd be glad to talk to you, because I think it's vitally important that people understand what is really going on in the world. And we are being manipulated, I fear, into a terrible war in the Middle East. And should, as we pointed out before, why the naval flotilla simply just moved into the Red Sea this past weekend. And of course, this is an aircraft carrier and submarines and destroyers and supply ships and cruisers. And there are about 11 ships in this flotilla. And of course, this is a tremendous firepower. And certainly with the planes on, most of these carriers carry close to 100 planes and all sorts of bombers and certainly attack planes. And certainly they'll be within striking distance of Iran there and their position in the Red Sea. And then, of course, we're told that other naval flotillas are moving through the Indian Ocean, and they will be positioned by the end of July, which is just a little over 4 weeks from now, or by the first week in August, in preparation for a war with Iran. Now, could this change and it not come about? And certainly it's very, very possible. But certainly it could also become really a nightmare, because, you see, there are terrorist cells in the United States. They've been here for a long time. And my concern is, of course, that they could be mobilized if we went to war with Iran. Everything is on a timetable. I mean, we actually brought the Ayatollahs to power back in 1979. And it didn't make sense at that time, as I've said before. Why would we replace the Shah of Iran, who is our ally, with the Ayatollahs, who were radical, and certainly you had the pro-communist leanings in many instances, but certainly they hated the United States? Why would you replace a friend with an enemy intentionally? It didn't make any sense in 1979. But if you understand that they want us to go to war with Iran, it all makes sense today. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Love to talk to you. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, what most Americans don't understand is, for all intents and purposes, we are at war with Iran. When you put sanctions on a country, that is an act of war. But even, of course, more than that, why, of course, what we know, that they, and you can verify this on the Internet, the fact that the Bush administration authorized an expenditure of $400 million to actually finance terrorist organizations in Iran to overthrow the government. Now, if somebody was to spend $400 million to hire terrorists to overthrow the government of the United States, how would you feel about that? What would you expect that our response would be? Well, I would think that we would consider that was an act of war by that government, and we would attack them. I mean, that would be very justifiable. And yet that's exactly what we did with Iran. And you don't have to accept my word for this. And for the first time in recorded history, you have at your fingertips, if you have a computer or a friend with a computer, access to the information that's suppressed, but you can go to your search engine and type in Bush administration, $400 million CIA, terrorist organizations attack Iran, or something of the sort. Terrorist organizations, Iran, $400 million CIA. And you find out that what I'm telling you is truth. We are at war with Iran. We just haven't told the American people, just as we were at war with the Japanese before December 7th, 1941. Because, of course, we'd done exactly the same thing. We'd actually been doing everything we could to overthrow the Japanese government, and we'd put an embargo on the Japanese so they couldn't buy natural raw materials anywhere in the world. And of course, remember, Japan has no raw materials. They have no oil or gasoline. And we put an embargo on them so that they could not buy oil or gasoline anywhere in the world. And our military was enforcing that embargo. And Japan had a 6-month supply of oil. When that was gone, why, their whole economy would collapse. We knew that this would force them to have to attack the United States. We left the troop, we left the military, the naval forces at Pearl Harbor to invite an attack. And Admiral Richardson realized that. He was in charge of the Pacific Fleet, and he resigned from his position. He yelled at President Roosevelt and said, "What you're doing is wrong. We should pull our troops, forces back to the West Coast, and we'll be right back in a moment here." Well, this is Dr. Stan, and it looks like we're not going to have a guest this hour. So if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. I was simply using the analogy of certainly how we were at war with the Japanese before the attack on Pearl Harbor. We, of course, set the Japanese up. Basically, Admiral Richardson, who commanded the Pacific Fleet, wanted to pull the Pacific Fleet out of Pearl Harbor and bring it back to the West Coast because he felt that it was certainly an indefensible position when it was at Pearl Harbor. It would invite an attack. And President Roosevelt ordered him to leave the fleet there. And Admiral Richardson said, "It's wrong. It'll be vulnerable. Our ships could be sunk." Admiral, pardon me, FDR insisted on it, and so Admiral Richardson had a knockdown, drag-out fight with FDR in his office, and people outside said they could hear them yelling at one another, and Admiral Richardson walked out, and he resigned. I wish we had men of that character in Washington, D.C. today and in the military today who would simply say, "I'm going to resign from the military if you're going to do something that's going to endanger my troops and my ships and endanger the Navy." And so basically they put poor old Admiral Kimmel in charge there. He was to be the fall guy. And they withheld information on him that they knew the attack was coming on Pearl Harbor. And if you haven't heard our 4-tape set, well, my interviews with Robert Stinnett, who wrote a wonderful book on Pearl Harbor, well, you need to get it. We actually have an interview with Admiral Thomas Moore, who is actually a fighter pilot there. We have interviews with other people who are at Pearl Harbor. You need to get the 4-tape set on Pearl Harbor. But there's no question at all that, of course, they knew the attack was coming. They left the American boys there to be killed. How do I know that? Well, basically, when I went through Colonel House's papers back at Yale University in 1980, I found that they had the papers there of Secretary of War Stimson, and I knew it was in his diary, so I asked for the diary, and I knew approximately date that the Secretary of War Simpson had gone to the White House. So I got it. I was able to copy the pages. And Secretary of War Simpson tells about going to the White House on November 25th. And he is there, and Admiral Stark is there. James Forrestal is there. General Marshall is there, and he's there. And basically, the president, President Roosevelt, said, I think that the attack will come next Monday. The Japanese usually have a surprise attack, and we're planning on it coming next Monday. Now, they delayed it. The Japanese delayed it a week. But President Roosevelt said, and this is in the diary, and we have copies of it, and we'll be glad to send it to you if you request it and get something else from us. But President said, we are going to war with Japan. The only question is how we get into the war and get the Japanese to fire the first shot. So they knew they were going to attack Pearl Harbor. They knew that they would have to get them to fire the first shot because the American people didn't want to go to war in 1941, in December of 1941. On December 6th, nobody wanted to go to war. On December 8th, everybody wanted to go to war. With the wicked Japanese, the Day of Infamy, and all these speeches that the president gave had been written long ahead of time in anticipation of going into the war. They left those men there to die. And ladies and gentlemen, they knew certainly what was going to happen on September 11th. There was a stand-down order that morning. There were explosives, at least in Building 7. I suspect they were in all of the buildings. The planes did not bring down the Twin Towers. The planes hit the buildings, and we logically assumed that there was a relationship between the planes hitting the buildings and the buildings coming down, but that wasn't true. Richard Clark, who was in charge of the counterterrorism under the Clinton administration, wrote a book, and we actually have the quotation in my little pamphlet called Foreknowledge 911. There are three pamphlets there. You need to get them and read them. But he will tell you in his book that on September the 10th, why they put plans on the president's desk for the attack on Afghanistan. The day before the 9/11 attack, the plans were on the president's desk for an attack on Afghanistan. It was all set up, but we had to have a means of getting the American people willing to go to war. And basically, on September 10th, the American people didn't want to go to war in the Middle East. On September 12th, they did. Just as on December 6th, 1941, the American people didn't want to go to war, but on December 8th they did, and I fear the same thing is going to happen. Very soon there's going to be an incident where the American people don't want to go to war with Iran, but they're going to draw us into a war. There's going to be some sort of a false flag operation, some sort of a shenanigans. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they're going to convince the American people we have to go to war. And courageous Barack Obama will lead us into war, and he needs that war because, of course, his popularity is way down. 53% of the people don't think he's doing a good job. They're going to lose control of the Senate and of the House of Representatives, in the elections in November, unless we're at war. And if we're at war, why, of course, the Democrats may be able to hang on control of the House and the Senate, because after all, you don't want to change horses in midstream when you're underwater. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we should change horses, but I'm not sure that Republicans are going to be any better because they're controlled, at least at the national level, by exactly the same people. There are some good people running, and we want to back them, but most of them are examples of the finest congressmen and senators money could buy. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and our regularly scheduled guest didn't show up. So it's up to you to give us a call if there's something you'd like to talk about. But are you concerned about the possibility of a war with Iran? What would that do to our country financially, which is already having to borrow $5 billion a day just to meet our expenses? Where's the money going to come from? Is China going to finance a war with one of their close allies, which is Iran, what source of their natural gas and oil? Certainly, is Russia going to lend us money? Is Saudi Arabia going to lend us money? Is China? Is Japan? going to lend us money. Japan is in terrible financial straits. So basically, of course, where's the money going to come from? Well, I suspect what they'll do is simply print the money and dilute the money supply and lay us open for hyperinflation, because there's only three things you can do. You could, of course, borrow the money. You can tax the people, but if you tax the people for this senseless war, they'd be furious. If the American people had had to pay for the Vietnam War, they never would have put up with it. If it had to pay for the Second World War, if it had to pay for Vietnam, well, it's all been done on borrowed money. This is where a large part of the national debt has come from. And then, of course, through inflation, and this is how they're able to finance these wars, and I suspect this is what they're going to do, and it looks like maybe we have William Federer on. William, is that you?
Yes, Dr. Stan, great to be with you.
Oh, it's good to have you with us. Well, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, just a similarity between the Gulf crisis and the immigration crisis.
All right, you go ahead and pick up the story.
Well, they both have the similarities in that the administration is intentionally letting them get worse. With the Gulf oil crisis, the Dutch offered ships the very couple days from when the explosion happened, they offered skimmer ships, and the president turned them down. And then even just a couple days ago, there were skimmer ships out there working hard, and the Coast Guard comes up and says, stop everything. We have to count your fire extinguishers to make sure you have enough fire extinguishers.
Yeah, I thought that was the most incredible thing. You might think if there was a question, they were just taking out some fire extinguishers, unless, of course, they didn't want to solve the problem.
Yeah, that's, when you look at this, Governor Bobby Jindal from Louisiana immediately asked permission to build burns, to build a sand bar to protect the oil from going into the different marsh area where all the animals are. The EPA, of all people, that you'd think they were there to protect the marsh area, the EPA comes out and stops them. And then you have the oil rigs that they estimate about 20,000 jobs and maybe 200,000 auxiliary jobs that are affected that are based on drilling. And, of course, like a third of our oil comes from that area. And the president wants to stop all drilling. And
he wants to stop drilling in Alaska, offshore drilling. Why, because you have an oil leak down in the Gulf, why would you stop offshore oil drilling in Alaska unless the real purpose was to stop all offshore drilling because you want to drive up the price of oil and get the people out of their cars?
Yeah, that's the thing, is you'd get the feeling that he is living out Rahm Emanuel's line, never let a serious crisis go to waste. And here they have this tremendously serious crisis, and why waste it in just trying to solve it? Let's take advantage of it to push an agenda. And what is the agenda? Well, they want to get rid of fossil fuels. They want to make us dependent on Muslim Arab oil so that we can continue to finance the Saudis. They want us to be less independent.
And not only that, but of course they want us to go into solar and wind energy, which can never provide probably more than 10% of our energy needs, and they know that, but it's much more expensive. It's going to destroy a lot of jobs in the oil industry here, and it's going to make very, very few new jobs. You're going to lose probably three jobs for every job you make. It's going to be fabulously expensive. Where's the money coming from? Why won't they let us do what's logical? Everybody else is doing it. China is not going to give up burning coal and all those things. Go right ahead, William.
Well, the president...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Trying to stop the what's going on out there in the Gulf. President Obama wants to stop offshore oil drilling. That's why they're stopping offshore oil drilling in Alaska, because there's an oil leak down there in the Gulf of Mexico. President Obama wants to drive up the cost of electricity. President Obama wants to get the American people out of their cars. What a wonderful opportunity to accomplish all of these things, and the average American could not for 1 minute believe that they're capitalizing on a crisis. They're not trying to solve the problem because they want to have their agenda passed. Go right ahead.
The Los Angeles Times, after Obama gave his speech, ran a headline. It said, Obama's speech, there's gazillions of gobs of oil spewing into the Gulf, so let's build windmills. In other words, they understand that there's a disconnect. how could taxing everybody for breathing out carbon dioxide stop the gazillions of gallons of oil spewing into the Gulf? And then to realize that it was the environmentalists that created the problem in the first place, that environmentalists forced the drilling to go deeper and deeper so that they wouldn't have it there, you know, on the land or near the coast. And so they created this crisis so they could later capitalize on it and consolidate control. So why is this similar to the immigration problem? Well, the government could stop illegal immigration anytime they wanted. But the president, and it, unfortunately Bush was not any better along these lines, but currently Obama's in the White House, and there is no effort to stop the illegal immigration. And the talk is that the president wants it to get worse and worse and worse, so finally the public will say, we have to have a comprehensive immigration bill passed, and lo and behold, Obama will get his agenda passed. So just like letting the Gulf oil crisis get worse so that he can pass cap and trade, which will basically bankrupt the country and tax everybody for breathing out carbon dioxide, nobody would vote for this in their right mind, but he needs a crisis. And it's the same way that allowing the immigration crisis to get worse and worse will provide impetus for president's immigration bill to be passed. Now,
and I think it's so important that people pretty, Chris, understand that he is steadfastly refusing to enforce immigration laws. We have immigration laws, and he just will not enforce them. And simply, they won't build the fence, they won't enforce the laws, they won't go after the employers who employ the illegal immigrants. They're going to go after Arizona for actually bringing their laws into alignment with the federal laws, which the federal government is not enforcing. So when you understand they're intensely creating that sort of a problem, because they, and I think, of course, one of the things they really want to do, when things get so bad, they're going to say, well, the way to solve this is everybody's going to have their papers. You're going to have a federal identification card, and then, of course, you can't employ anybody without a federal identification card. Everybody's going to have their papers so they can be constantly monitored by the fellow on the block. But even once that's in place, they're not going to enforce the laws. That'll only be the justification for getting everybody to have a federal ID card. But you go right ahead.
Well, you're hitting it right on the head, is that nobody in the country wants to be chipped by the government. Nobody wants the government tracking them. And so how can the government get everybody to be tracked? Well, if we push through a comprehensive immigration reform, and hidden in there is the wording that allows the government to track everybody, to make sure, as you mentioned, to have our papers. But with the technology the way it is, I'm sure there would be some kind of biometric identification thing, that whether it's a card. And then, of course, we've been reading stuff for years about the movement to chip people. And so we can see that from one angle, what's happening simply looks like an inept president that doesn't know how to handle crisis. From the other angle, we see that it is very purposely allowing the crisis to get worse so that there can be a movement of the government consolidating control.
And it should be so obvious to people, and when you point it out, it is, but if nobody's pointing these things out, and you're certainly not going to get these things pointed out on the major media, at least most of the major media isn't going to do it, we need to get people to understand we're being manipulated by people who have a different agenda, and they really do want total control.
From
All right, William, you go right ahead.
Well, it's always great to be with you, Dr. Stan. I appreciate you so much. If someone wants any information on my books, they can go to AmericanMinute.com and see some of these things. You know, Stalin said, crisis alone permits the government to demand and obtain total sacrifice and submission from its citizens. Crisis alone. So Stalin was known for fear and food. If you constantly keep the people in fear of the big brother government spying and carrying away people in the middle of the night, you keep them in fear, and then you always keep a food shortage so that there is not your thoughts all day long are how am I going to feed my family tonight. You don't have time to plot how to change the government, and so the government gets to stay in there. And so fear and food, so we are moving in the direction of the limiting of the food supply. More of their bills working their way through Congress that would prohibit people from selling their backyard food to a neighbor. And there's even some that would prohibit them from even giving it away to a neighbor. The FDA would want to regulate the food supply. In Ohio, there were a bunch of homeschooling families that had a co-op, and they had their food and their natural milk and eggs and so forth, and a government person came in and wanted to buy some of it, and they were smart enough to say, no, we can't sell it. The person kept coming back and insisting, saying they had some health problem and they needed some, you know, fresh eggs or something, and the guy said, look, I won't sell it, but I'll just give them to you. And the guy said, no, I insist on paying. And he says, no. So he gives him the eggs, and before the guy goes out the door, he throws a $20 bill on the floor. And the next week, they show up and arrest everybody and confiscate everything for illegally hoarding food and selling without a license and all this other kind of stuff. Why would the government not want people to have food? There's only, and you know this, and I'm sure your audience does, but there's only about 2 or 3 weeks' worth of food in the pipeline. In other words, the food in your grocery store is fresh. And it's grown many times, most of the time, outside of the United States.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, yeah, this is Dr. Stan. And Cindy Williams is talking about the food shortage of here. Increasingly, our food is grown outside of the United States. Our fruits and vegetables. Why? Why? Because the federal government shut down the food production in the Central Valley of California, which was one of the major food producers, not only for the United States, for the whole world. And the government intentionally shut that down in the name of protecting a 2-inch smelt. And so they let the water go out to the sea. And of course, the Central Valley of California, once the most productive part of the entire country, is now fallow, and the fields are dry, and the dirt is simply blowing away because of federal government policies. And you're not hearing about that. They don't want you to know that they intend one day to create a great famine in America. And I'm convinced of this. Now, William, before we go ahead, I want you to tell our listeners how they get to your website and how they can get your books.
Well, thanks. Well, the website, again, is AmericanMinute.com, AmericanMinute.com. Anyone can sign up for the free daily email called The American Minute and also get my books. Many of them are bestsellers. So what every American needs to know about the Quran, A History of Islam in the United States, America's God and Country, Encyclopedia Quotations, and another new book called Prayers and Presidents, all the past presidents, all their proclamations of prayer. And so AmericanMinute.com.
All right, fine. Well, then, of course, you were going ahead, and of course, you have his book on George Washington Carver and St. Nicholas and on St. Patrick and America's God and Country. A lot of great books. One of them, actually, we carry, but you can get it from William. It's called What Every American Should Know About the Quran. But all sorts of books, go to his website, an excellent source of information. Now, William, of course, you were just talking about how they are intentionally lining us up for a massive food shortage here in the United States. You pick up that concept.
The GATT, NAFTA, all these different treaties make it so that other countries can bring their goods into America without paying tariffs. So the farmers that grow stuff here don't have the protection that they have had in the past. Also, the weak dollar, strong dollar, that when we have a strong dollar that people don't want to buy our goods. But we've gone through such a period, so long a time, that there's not much grown here anymore. So we're dependent. And if the ships that are bringing food in stopped, we would only have 3 weeks before all the grocery stores would be empty. And then people would have about another week's worth of food in their home stored up. And after that, you're going to have gangs of people robbing, breaking into stores and running up and down streets, breaking into homes, looking for food. It's going to be anarchy, and then out of that, everybody will be willing to give up their rights and freedoms just to have any type of order restored, and that is how communist governments have taken over 45 countries. You create a crisis that's real bad, and then everybody's willing to surrender, like Joseph in Egypt, that situation with their lives and posterity just to get some crumbs, to get some food, to feed them for the next day. Unfortunately, this is, and debt plays into that. But I want to get back to the Gulf oil spill and the immigration and how they are similar, and that the president it's very clear now that he is intentionally wanting to let these problems get worse so that he will have an excuse to push his agenda through. It's a pretty commonly known term. It's called Machiavellianism. It goes back 500 years ago to Italy, when Italy was not Italy. It was a lot of little city-states. Venice, Genoa, Siena, Perugia, Pisa, Noli, Amalfi, all these different Italian city-states, and they were republics for the most part. They were not ones with kings. They were one of the few rare instances of alternatives to monarchy. And Machiavelli said, well, gee, how can we stop all these little kingdoms from fighting each other? And he said, well, we need one prince to control it all. And so he wrote a book called The Prince, in which he advocated the end justifies the means. The end of one prince controlling all of Italy is such a good end that any means necessary to get there is justified, whether it's lie, cheat, steal, murder, rape, cause problems and wars and fighting. And so it's the scenario that if a prince wants to conquer a city in his quest to unify Italy and the city doesn't want to be conquered, why, they'd hate him. But if the prince paid somebody to create crisis, to capitalize on crisis, that the people would cry out for help. And the prince would come in and take charge and kill the very people that he bribed. Nobody would know the better for it, and they would praise the prince as a hero. So it's good marketing. You create the need and fill it. You go on the back of the house, set it on fire, then you go on the front of the house and sell them a fire extinguisher. This has been going on for 500 years. It's called Machiavellianism. You can look it up in a Funkin' Wagnalls encyclopedia. It's the graduated use of crisis and terror to consolidate control. And so in America, while we've been busy, building our families and then sliding into our apathy, there have been those that have been studying on how to capture, how to derail, how to take America down. And unfortunately, it looks like the president has surrounded himself with these type of people, from Bill Ayers to Van Susteren to Van Jones, and then we don't know much about the president because he has sealed all his records. But what we do know is his father was a Muslim communist. Barack Obama Sr. wrote a paper. You can read it on the internet. The guy went to Harvard, but he advocated 100% income tax for Kenya. And he campaigned for Odinga, and Odinga went to communist Eastern Germany universities before Odinga came back and ran for office in Kenya.
Now, you're speaking of President Obama. When he was Senator Obama, actually went over to Kenya and actually campaigned for Odinga, who was a communist, and he was over there. I mean, he is being paid as a United States Senator. He's over in Kenya, actively involved in the political campaign there, campaigning for a communist, Odinga, who actually lost the election. But, of course, what they did is they kept agitating and saying it wasn't a fair election. It was a fair election, but then they kept agitating and creating civil unrest and killing people and rioting until eventually, of course, why he became sort of a co-ruler. Isn't that pretty well what happened?
Right. But it even goes back to that because we have Obama and Odinga, but Obama's dad campaigned for Odinga's dad. So this is a multi-generational thing because they're both from the same tribe, the Luo tribe. And so Obama's dad was a Harvard-trained communist Muslim campaigning for a East Germany communist-trained person. And now here the son, Obama, campaigned for Odinga, who has made agreements to allow Sharia law Islam, but also communism type of there. So the point I'm getting at is that the president has sealed his records, but what we do know, he has surrounded and been a product of those that have a communist agenda. And so we see, again, the crisis in the Gulf, the crisis of immigration. Why is the president intentionally letting it get worse? Because he wants to be able to use it as an excuse to push his agenda of cap and trade and his agenda of comprehensive immigration reform, which is nothing more than, as you mentioned, forcing everybody in the country to have a national ID card, and then the different steps of possibly moving in the direction of a chip. But again, it all has to do with control. The health care, the swine flu was the big crisis. Remember that? The swine flu sweeping the country, and that was right before the vote. And once it passes the Congress, then, geez, it seems like swine flu went away. It's like, how come we don't hear about this anymore? You see this crisis-driven, and then even Joseph Stalin, as I mentioned, said crisis alone permits the government to demand and obtain total submission of its citizens. When Lenin did the Bolshevik Revolution, and they shot the Tsar of Russia, and the country went into chaos, and this small group of communists took control of the country, they had disrupted all the food. And so there was a lot of starving going on. And so Lenin tried to get the agriculture going again in the Soviet Union. When Lenin died, Stalin took over, and Stalin stopped it. And in other words, he intentionally wanted to let it get worse so that he could have an excuse to consolidate control over the populace. This is an ancient history. It was, you know, Stalin, well documented, actually had the trucks go into the Ukraine, put all the food on the trucks, and took the food out of the cities to starve the people on purpose. So this is, apart from the Judeo-Christian influence on men's souls, it can get pretty bad what men can do to other men if there is no God that you're accountable to. But, you know, one of the quotes I found fascinating is the farewell address of William Henry Harrison. And I may have mentioned this on the program before, but William Henry Harrison was the ninth president. His inaugural address was co-written with Daniel Webster. And out of all the addresses, inaugural addresses, I think it's probably one of the best because he goes through it over and over again, referring to the dangers of concentrated power. And he warns of the real danger is when people refuse to admit the existence of a, let me just read this to you. It says, the danger to all well-established free governments arises from the unwillingness of the people to believe in the existence of designing men. This is the old trick of those who would usurp the government of their country. In the name of democracy, they speak, warning the people against the influence of wealth and the dangers of aristocracy. He says, history, ancient, modern, is full of such examples. Caesar became master of the Roman people and the Senate under the pretense of supporting the democratic claims of the former against the aristocracy of the latter. So here is the Roman Republic. It's a republic form of government where you have representatives. The people had a say in it, and these representatives were the aristocracy. As the years went on, the representatives and the senators became the aristocracy. People weren't happy with the aristocracy, and Julius Caesar comes along and convinces the people that he's going to support their democratic claims against these aristocrats and these terrible wealthy people. So the people back Julius Caesar, and he becomes a dictator, and he jumped from the frying pan into the fire. Instead of it being a handful of senators who are corrupt, now you've got one individual who has all the power. And William Henry Harrison continues. He says that Cromwell, in the character of protector of the liberties of the people, became the dictator in England. So this is the scenario in England. They had Charles the First, who was the king, who was persecuting the Puritans. A bunch of Puritans fled to America and founded Massachusetts. That's when all those Puritans came over. But the Puritans that stayed in England had a civil war with Oliver Cromwell as their general, and they win. And Oliver Cromwell chops off the head of Charles the First. And so for about 20, 30 years, the Puritans run England. And Oliver Cromwell, who had chopped off the head of Charles I, says, okay, I'm not going to declare myself a king. I'm not going to repeat those errors. I'm just going to call myself Lord Protector. Well, he gets the Parliament together, and the Parliament can't agree on anything, and it can't, you know, it's just so frustrating that finally the Lord Protector cancels the Parliament. He says, okay, everybody go home. I'm just going to run the country. And basically returned to one person ruling. He didn't call himself a king, but nevertheless, he acted in that way. And that's why I've come up with the phrase, he who dictates is effectively the dictator. So if you call him a prince or a president, if they disregard the will of the people and they push through their agenda, they are dictating what's happening. They are acting effectively as a dictator.
Yeah, basically, we saw that with certainly the Obama health care bill. I like to call it the Kevorkian health care bill, but the Obama health care bill. Certainly, here in California, why, of course, Senator Feinstein was saying that she got literally tens of thousands of telegrams, and 90% of the people opposed the legislation, and her remark was, I just don't understand why they don't understand how great this is, you know, I'm going to vote for it. 90% of the people are against it, but I'm going to vote for it anyway. Obama knew that the people were against the legislation, but he wanted to get it through because the Obama health care bill is going to give the government control of the practice of medicine and the lives of the people, and of course they're going to have their death panel, because we've got to get rid of the elderly because they're costing too much. And basically it'll be far better off if they die and they will not be a drain on the Ponzi scheme, because believe me, the Ponzi scheme is over. They're actually putting out more money than they're taking in, and within the next few years it's something like 75 million baby boomers retire and they're going to be eligible for Medicare. Why? The whole system's going to collapse. It's a Ponzi scheme. They put Bernie Madoff in prison, and of course our congressmen are going to retire with a golden parachute for doing exactly the same thing. Because Bernie Madoff spent a lot of the money on himself, and that's just what Congress has done. They've taken the whole trust fund that should have been invested, and they've spent it. Go right ahead.
Well, you are pointing out the truth that are going on. It's discouraging at one point, but on the other point, we need to know about it. And secondly, I always say it's a time of crisis that two things happen. It's a time of crisis people under Christ, but it's also a time of crisis that leaders are raised up. And we never would have heard of Lincoln had it not been for the crisis of slavery. We never would have heard of Washington had it not been for the crisis with King George. We never would have heard of Moses had it not been for the crisis of Pharaoh. We never would have heard of David had it not been for the crisis with Goliath. And all the stories we love hearing and reading are those where it looks terrible and one person with courage stands up and says, I'm going to make a difference.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a minute with William Federer. William, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up our program.
Well, thank you again, Dr. Stan, for having me on again. AmericanMinute.com is my...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake, but a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
On St. Patrick's and St. Nicholas and George Washington Carver, and he's a prolific writer, but great books, great information, a great patriot, great friend. Well, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners of Radio Liberty. My ministry is primarily listener-supported. If you're in a position to help us maintain our network of 60 stations, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And if you're not in a position to help, but you agree with us and you'd like to help, then of course, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Remember, we're having our all-day conference on October 17th. We're going to have Paul Williams there. David Ayoub, City Sheriff Mack, is going to be here. We're going to have a couple of other speakers. It's going to be a great time. We're serving lunch. And you're going to have a reservation. So call us at 1-800-544-8927. If you want information on hotels, fine. Last year we had to turn people away, and so this year I suggest that you give us a call early. If you want to come, we'd love to have you. Great time. It'd be held by all. And then, of course, we want to remind you, we've got a great new talk. It's called The Specter Haunting America. The Specter Haunting America, telling about how they're destroying the lives not only of our children, but of our elderly. Why is the incidence of Alzheimer's increasing so dramatically? Why is the incidence of Parkinson's disease occurring at a younger and younger age? Why do we have so many people with dementia? Are these things happening by accident, or is there another cause? Well, you'll certainly want to hear my talk, The Specter Haunting America. And then, of course, you'll want to hear Dr. David Ayoub's talk on mercury vaccines and the global, mercury autism and the global vaccine agenda. And if you get the DVD, you get a free CD-ROM with literally thousands of pages of information. They know that they're destroying the minds of our children, but it's not just the minds. It's all about destroying their fertility, and not simply in this generation, but in generations to come, if there are any. They know what they're doing. And then, of course, you need to get the book, the DVD, Vaccines and Brain Development by Dr. Blaylock. And he has another excellent DVD we carry called Nutrition and Behavior. All of these things are well done, and they will give you the information you need to know. If you haven't read Russell's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, you need to get it. It's sort of our Bible here on nutrition. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And then his other book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, and Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. We have, of course, so many different items that you need to go to our website at radioliberty.com. If you'd like to get a catalog, just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then go to our website at radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our program 9 hours a day and not get much accomplished, but you'll learn a lot. Of course, you can get our archive programs, our MP3 programs, our blog. You can get our satellite feed or our live programming at radioliberty.com and watch our DVDs and read our newsletter. And let me suggest, our newsletters are excellent. And we put many of them into pamphlets, and you're welcome to copy them, or you get them very inexpensive through Radio Liberty, especially in bulk. And then you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand what we are really up against. Because we're not simply involved in a political ideological battle. We're not even involved in a battle against people who are communist or pro-communist. But behind everything are powerful spiritual forces. And unless you recognize that, nothing makes sense. So we ask you, of course, to pray for America, to pray for revival, because if we don't have a revival, if people don't turn back to God, we're going to lose America. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. From the night with the light from above, from the mountain.